Yeah, how about that? Why submit Pastor Ducks?
How about that?
That's right. Well, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe I should really duck. Before I go into that, let me share something with you. The Society of the Holy Trinity has got what they call a senior, and he's the senior member for Florida. And his name is Lawrence Reckley. He's an ELCA pastor who's very confessional. He sent me this morning, and I thought, gee, Merry Christmas, did you read my sermon? We are still children, you know. If you and I are children of God, then it is not surprising that from time to time, we act like children, both good and bad. Sometimes we act out with all the willful selfishness of a child, demanding what we want and throwing tantrums when we do not get our way. And at other moments, we behave like the ideal of the child, innocent, trusting, endlessly curious. Yes, we are responsible. Yes, we are the adults in this epic story. But beneath it all, forming who we are is the spiritual reality of a soul still in process. A child of both wonder and worry. Isn't that beautiful? As we look at Scripture, one of the things we have, grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone. But can you manipulate Scripture to say what you want? Of course you can. And I think that's what happens when we read this verse. I've heard people preach on just that verse, how you should submit. And then Peggy always says, did you read the rest of it? And it's true. You can pull a verse out of the Bible that says this when it really doesn't say that. Okay? It is. And is it in the context of what's in the Scripture, or is it not in the context of what is in the Scripture? And that's the thing, is you got to sit down and read the Bible. But as we are here, we're always looking for law and gospel. The way the Ephesians quote reads, that's law, isn't it? You're going to do this. Where's the gospel in that? There's really nothing in that part of the reading, is there? But isn't love and respect really what it's all about? All right, so let's see what the Apostle Paul is really teaching in this text. Wives and husbands. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as the Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself the Savior. That's what we heard today, right? Next verse. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies, because he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members, both of us, of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Boy, there's the wedding reading that we hear all the time. That's all part of the same thing, isn't it? So when we say, women, submit to your husbands, is that what Scripture is really teaching us? No. Okay. Yeah. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, submit to your wives. Be that shining example. Well, if you remember, Jesus is always referred to as the bridegroom, right? Who's the bride? The church. What's the church? Us. So when we take a look at this and we read things about husbands submit to your wives, or wives submit to your husbands, and husbands, okay, the church, the bride, submits to Jesus. Now, when you start looking at it that way, it's okay, isn't it? You know, so the thing is, when we read scripture, is there more than just the surface meaning to it? Yeah. I think so. You know, as this is from Matthew 9, verse 15. And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast." Even Jesus calls himself the bridegroom. And the day's going to come when he's not with us. Are we supposed to submit ourselves to his will? Of course. Brides, wives, submit to your husbands. But that isn't saying that, "Peggy, you've got to do what I tell you to do." Nah, very good at all. But you see my point? There's another meaning in there. And it's just as much in scripture as is the first one that everybody takes. Let me read John 3, verse 29. "The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friends of the bridegroom who stand and hear him rejoice greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete." Another one of these things I heard: women should keep silent in church.
That's funny.
Heard that one before? Yeah. Wish my mom would have heard that one. You know, I'm going to read you a little bit about that. Here's the thing when we're talking about scripture. "The women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says." Here's what it is. What is it then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If any speak in a tongue, let there only be two, or at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret it. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may be learned and be encouraged. And the spirit of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. The women should keep silent in church. But you see, when you read that first part of it, it sort of changes that ending, doesn't it? So folks, what happens is those things are put in there. This is from the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth had an old biddies robe. Okay, what's an old biddies robe? Well, thank God our church doesn't have one. The old biddies robe is the one that usually sits there in the front row and says, "We don't do it that way. We do it this way. Why are you doing that?" Went to a Lutheran church in Silver City, New Mexico. Had a potluck afterwards. Went up, tried to help. The old biddies robe came up. "We don't do it that way. We do it this way." Go ahead. Never went back. But you see, those kind of people are in church. So the admonition is keep silent. Don't do that. The other thing is, how many people do you know who goes to church because it's the thing to do to go to be seen? Right? You've all met those. The ones that go in there, they pray the hardest on Sunday and then go out and do business the next day and just steal from their neighbors. Right? Okay? They're not Christian, are they? But yet, they're the ones that are the loudest in church. So keep silent in church. You know, let your heart open up. And so when we look at these kind of verses, what it's telling us is that we too are here and we are all learning. And that's why I like that reading I started with today, because we're all children, you know. We have pride, the sin of pride. Almost used hubris again, you know. But the thing is, pride is one of those sins. It's one of the seven deadly sins, right? But yet many times we look at pride and say, "I'm the best. No, you're not. Jesus is the best. We're all children. You know, I told you the story one time when we were on a Pastor Tony would get a kick out of this. Titusville, Florida, preaching at the church there for a call. And I described myself as a CSIC. Chief Sinner in Charge. How can a pastor say that? The pastor should be sinner and all this stuff. And that's when I found out, hey, I don't want to go there either. Okay? You don't put a pastor on a pedestal. Okay? You don't put any of us on a pedestal. Who do you put on the pedestal?
Jesus.
Okay? That's who we're here to learn from, right? So keep silent in church. We're all the bride, right? Learn, okay? You know, one of the most important things it says for a pastor in 2 Timothy is to be a didaskalos. There's that funny Greek word, but it means be a teacher. Do I teach a lot? Yes. But how do you grow without learning? Okay? I love this because in the today, you know, many times you go to large churches, and I think that's where you see a lot of the old biddies room, you know, because you get these group that's together, and I say old biddies room, but it could be male or female, you know, it doesn't make any difference. It's an equal opportunity biddy. How's that? Yeah, it's good. But the thing is, you go to some of these churches, you know, you can walk in the door and know if you're going to be like that church or not, right? You can feel welcome. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. And if you walk in, there's something funny about this one. Turn around, go back out, because the Holy Spirit says, you're not going to be happy here. And I don't think that's what people feel when they walk into here, because I have people come up to me, boy, I wish you had this church here. You know how many times I hear that when we have guests? But the thing is that we are all together. We're all learning. Old Testament today, talking about a book. If you like the words of a book that is sealed, when men give it to one who can read, saying, read this, and he says, I cannot, for it's sealed. And then they give the book to one who cannot read, saying, read this, and he says, I cannot read. All right, think about that for a second. Isn't that the same thing that we've been saying about keep silent in church? I thought about that real hard because, you know, many times the Bible tells us you look but you do not see, you listen but you do not hear, right? All right, so when we are looking at something like this, you give somebody the book, okay? Well, I can't read that. You're rejecting it. It's in Greek. Hebrew in this case, it's the Old Testament. But you see what I'm getting at? So what we want to do is sit here with open minds, open hearts. Right? And the only way you achieve that is listen. Listen and hear, look and see. Make sense? See, that's what I think is really what's going on to here. Do we listen to church with the openness of children? No, we always try and filter it through what we know. And I think that was really apparent. We've talked about this one time when Megan was sitting here with us. I was talking to the Sunday school afterwards, and I had said something, and it was interesting because it was what, Betty, five or six of us who were going through that. Nobody heard what I said except for the person who heard it for the first time. And you know what it was? Because we're not trying to filter it through something. Well, I should know this, so it should be this. No, just listen to it. And don't you think sometimes with the Word of God, that's what we do? Is we try and pigeonhole the Word of God. So keep silent, church. Listen. Okay? And I think that's what it's trying to tell us today. You know, I quote Luther a lot. I wonder why, because it's a Lutheran church. But his explanation to the Catechism for the third article, I always think, is fantastic. I cannot, by my own reason or strength, know my Lord Jesus Christ or come to him. We can't do it on our own, right? How do we do it? Through the Holy Spirit. Hi, Brandon, come on in and sit down today. And you can't leave. Okay. Doesn't everything we do go back to our relationship with the Holy Spirit? Can we have Jesus if we don't have the Holy Spirit? No. You know, many times we say, well, it's all about Jesus. No. It's all about the Holy Spirit. It's the sanctified lifestyle. It's living in Christ through the Holy Spirit, right? But here we go. Both males and females, we're conditional, aren't we? Well, I'll listen to this. If, well, then I can do this. Or if this happens, then I'll do that. Okay? Keep silent, church, and just listen. Don't put conditions on it. Open up for it. You know, one of the ones I used to hear, not here, thank God, is, well, I'll help a church if somebody else will do this. If we want to help a church, help a church. You know, it's one of those things. Open up the heart. Okay? That's where it comes from. Yeah, we should all keep silent in church. We should all make a joyful noise in church. Okay? I think it comes back to intent. And remember, we're always trying to put it through a rational mind. I cannot by my own reason or strength. So, when we look at that Ephesians, remember, love each other, understand each other, don't judge each other, and nurture each other. So, did we hear Jesus this time? And God's people respond with a resounding
amen.
Amen.